The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas VaYishlach. The Torah tells us that when Yaakov returned from the house of Lavan, and after marrying Rachel and Leah and having all of the Shvatim, all of the tribes except Binyamin, he now is returning home and he meets Esav. And the Torah tells us about the confrontation that he prepares for with Esav. And that night, it states, "Vayokam balaylohu, vayivosi Yaakov levadei," and he was left alone, "vayivovek ish imayad aleis hashochar," and someone came and wrestled with him the entire night until the dawn. "Vayarki lo yochalei," this is in Pasuk Chofei and Chovov, "Vayarki lo yochalei," and this person that was wrestling with him was not able to overcome him. "Vayiga b'kaf yerechei," and he injured him in his kaf yerech. That's a nerve which is located in the thigh near the loins. "Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov behe ofke imay," and his foot by the joint moved away. And then this person said, "Send me away because it's the dawn." And he said, "I'll only send you if you will bless me." And he told him that your name shall not be Yaakov anymore, but Yisrael, because you have fought with Elohim v'anoshim v'tuchal. You have fought with angels and with men, and you have conquered them. And as the sun came up, and Yaakov was limping on his foot because of the injury. The Chazal, the sages, tell us who was this man that was wrestling with Yaakov. He wasn't a man, but he was an angel. He was a malach. And who was he? He was Soresh el Esav, the angel of Esav. There's a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah that we've brought in the past. It's on Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Omar Rav Yehuda Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav. Omar Rav Yehuda Mashmul. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmul, "Eira Cheres Yesh Lehem Bereimi, Achas Leshivim Shono." The Mishnah and the Gemara is speaking here of the various holidays, idolatrous holidays, that the nations had. So it states that there's another one that's not listed in the Mishnah, which would take place in Remi, in Rome. Rome is the heir of Edom, of Esav, which they would make once every 70 years. Mevin Odom Sholim, they would bring a person who was physically perfect. Umarkivin Esay Al Odom Chiger, and they would put this person on top of another person, a chigar is a lame person. The Odom Sholem, the one who was physically perfect, would ride on the back and the shoulders of the lame person. Umalbishin, I say, bigde Odom Harishin. And they would dress him, the one who was physically perfect, in the clothing of Odom Harishin, of the first man. Rashi tells us that Odom Sholem Keneged Esav, the one who was perfect, that represented Esav. Odom Chiger, the lame one, this represented Yaakov, as he was Selei Al Yerechei, like we learned here, because he was injured in the leg from the angel. The clothing, Hein Bigde Chamude Shoyel Esav. Torah tells us that the clothing which Hashem made for Odom Harishon, the first man, eventually ended up in the hands of Esav. This is what it states, that when Yitzchok wanted to bless Esav, and Rivka intervened, and she told Yaakov, "You go and take the brochas, disguise yourself as Esav." So she gave him the Bigde Chamudeis, the very valuable clothing which she was holding for him. And the Chazal say because he wouldn't trust his clothing by his own wives, he was afraid they would steal them. Now, it's not that Esav was afraid his wife would steal clothing, but this clothing. Because this clothing had belonged to Adam HaRishon, was the Kosnesh Or, the garments which Hashem made for the first man. And they were handed down generation after generation until finally they ended up by Esav. The sages say that he took them away from Nimrod. He killed Nimrod and took them away. So these were very big dechamudas. These were very, very rare and valuable clothing. And on this, Esav wouldn't trust his wife, so he would leave them by his mother Rivka. Now this clothing eventually went into the hands of Rome. So at this holiday, they would take out these clothes and put them on the Odem Sholem, the one who was of perfect physique. Umeinichin lei bereishai karkiflei shelder bishmoel. And they would also put on this man, on his head, the karkiflei of Rabbi Shmuel. What was that? Rashi explains, Kain Godel. Rabbi Shmuel was a Kain Godel. He was the high priest during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, during the second Beis HaMikdash. And it was during the second Beis HaMikdash that Rome came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Umei haruge malchus hoyo. And he was from those that were killed by the Roman Empire. Umitech yofyo. He was very, extremely handsome. And when the Romans were torturing him to death, so the Nichnas Belev Caesar, the daughter of the Caesar, was so attracted by his beauty that she asked that he be saved. So the Caesar didn't allow him to be saved, but he said that after we kill him, we will take off his skin, hifshit or ponov, they peeled the skin of his face, v'chomto ba'fesomein, and they bombed it so it would retain its perfection, shetei mikuyemes, v'le yishtane, and it would not change, and they kept it. V'dayin munach b'ginzei remi, and Rashi tells us, and it's still kept in the treasure storehouses of Rome. So during this holiday, they would take this out, the karkifle shel Rabbi Shmuel, this was the skin of the face of Rabbi Shmuel, and put it on this person. And then v'tolulei b'tzavoreha miskal reish zuzei de pizon. Then they would take a jewelry in the form of a chain, which was made up of the weight of 200 zuz of pizor. Pizor, Rashi tells us, is poz. We have in Tilem, it states that it's poz, absorb the poz. Poz is a precious stone. Even yekora admi od. It's not only a precious stone, but it's very, very rare, ve'in a motzui be'olam. And it's almost not to be found. And they would take 200 zuz, the weight of 200 zuz, which was a massive amount, and they would make a great chain out of it, and put it on the neck of this person. Tosfos brings, and the Gemara says that only a certain amount of pizor, of this stone, came into the world. And half went to Rome, and the other half went to the rest of the world. So it was a very rare stone. And then, umechapin es hashvokim b'inoch, then they would take other precious stones and they would cover the whole, all of the courts in the marketplaces where they were having this holiday. And they would march these two people through, the sholem, the one who was perfect, on the shoulders of the chigar of the cripple. Umachrizin lefonov, and they would call out in front of him, Sach Kiri Plaster, that the amount of time, Cheshben HaKotzin, the amount of time that the prince, Rashi says refers to Yaakov, but Tosfos says refers to Yitzchok. Okay? Now Yitzchok was their grandfather, because Esav came from Yitzchok. So they say, would say that the amount of time that the prince said, prophesied, this plaster is false. Yeah. Yitzchok, when he gave the brochas to Yaakov, what did he say? And this was in Parshas told us. said, Yabducha, this is in Pasuk Chof Zayin Chof Tes, Per Chof Zayin Chof Tes, Yabducha Amim, nations shall serve you, Yishtachavu Lecho Le'umim, kingdoms shall bow to you, have a Gvir La'achecho, you shall be a Gvir to your brother. What does this mean? The Targum says, have a Rav Lochich, you shall be a master over your brother. So this was the prophecy of Yitzchok. So they go and they shout and call out before this procession that prophecy of the old prince is plastered as false, because we see it has not been fulfilled, because Esav is still the master over Yaakov. Achva de Merono, the brother of our master, they're referring to Yaakov, Zayafno, he is false. Zayafno means he is a fraud. Chame chame udelei chame lechame. Whoever will see the celebration will see it, and whoever will not see it, because it is, this celebration takes place only once every 70 years, once in a lifetime. So anyone who's living now, if he will see it, then he will enjoy it. But if not, he won't see it again in his lifetime. Maya anil ramo beramuse ulezayafno b'isayf muse. What did it help this fraudulent person? All of his deceit. We see that his deceit and his treachery did not help him at all. See, they're referring to Yaakov, because Yaakov took the brachas deceitfully, but still, how did it help him? Esav still rules. Umisayomin. But then they finish off, they conclude by saying, Hochi, Voy ledein kad yokum dein. But watch out, the other one better watch out when the other one will rise. When Yaakov will rise up, then Esav, beware, he will have to watch out. This is the holiday that they would have once every 70 years, and this is what will take place. The Maral Prague in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael in Perek Tes Zayin explains what all of this means, which we will go into this evening. Yaakov and Esav were twins. But even though they were twins, they were totally contrary and different to each other. Yaakov was destined to become the master of Olam Haba, of the spiritual world. And he was given, he was born and he developed the greatest powers that any man has ever had when it comes to the spirituality. Olam Haba. Esav, on the other hand, was Muchan Le'ilam Hazeh, he was the Baal Le'ilam Hazeh, he was born to master the physical world. And also he was to develop greater mastery over the physical world than any other individual. And because of this, they were totally contrary to each other. And like we see that when Rivka conceived and she was carrying them, states Vayisveitzatzu Habonim, that there was a tremendous fighting and turbulence that was going on within her. Now, the physical world, when it's part and parcel of the spiritual world, it's a great and beautiful world. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when he created the world, Vayar Hashem Eskol Asher Osa Ki Tov Me'od. Hashem saw everything that he made and it was very, very good. But when it's separated from the spiritual world, if it's taken and isolated, then it becomes an Olam HaShofel, a very lowly world. And it becomes also what is known as the Alma de Shikra, the false world. Because the physical world isolated from the spiritual world actually conceals Hashem's presence and Hashem's power. And this was Esav. And therefore, the Chazal say that when she used to go by a Beis Avodah Zarah, a place of idolatry, so Esav would try to run out of the womb towards it. And when she used to go by a Beis HaMedrash Shel Teira, a place of learning Torah, then Yaakov would want to run to it. Because Yaakov was drawn to Torah, and Esav was drawn to falsities, he was drawn to idolatries. And this is why it states, Yiparedu, that once they were born, Yiparedu, they will totally separate one another, one from the other. They would go in different directions. And also, the Chazal tell us that one of the reasons for the great fighting that was going on inside, Shohayu Meiriven Mishnei Nachleis, that each one wanted everything. Esav wanted this world and the next world, and Yaakov wanted the next world and this world. So there was a great struggle, and they were totally contrary to each other. Then it states in the... This was the prophecy that Rivka received from Shem, the son of Noach, when she went to ask him what's happening. This is in Parshas Toldos, in Perek Chof Hei Posuk Chof Gimel. He also told her, Ula'on Milaim Yemots, that one kingdom will draw its strength from the second kingdom. The Targum states, Malku Mimalku Yiskaf. Lo Yishvu Bigdula. They will never reign equally together. Kishazer Kom Zenefel. When one rises up, the other one will fall. When the other rises, then the first one will fall. Now, this doesn't mean that by coincidence they'll never reign together. Now, it has to be that way. Because one will draw its strength from the other. Just like when you have light and darkness. Light and darkness cannot reign at the same time. You cannot have light and darkness at the same time. If light dispels the darkness, then it becomes light. If darkness dispels the light, then there's darkness. The same thing with Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov represented the higher worlds, which is the Olam HaEmes, the worlds of truth. Esav represented a detached physical world, which is Alma Deshikra, a world of falsity. You cannot have truth and falsity reign at the same time. Impossible. If there is Betel HaShekah, the destruction of a falsity, then truth will reign. If there is Betel HaEmes, destruction of truth, then falsity will reign. So this is what is meant, Ula'im Ilaim Yamotz, that one will draw its strength from the other. Kishazer Kom Zeneifel, when one rises up, the other will fall. And the Chazal bring on that is Le'nishma Le'tzur Elamei Chubon Eshel Yushalayim. The great cities of Edom, of Rome, will be built up from the destruction of Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim will be built up from the destruction of the great cities of Rome. And this also is brought to Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, that there was a man, Diomar, I believe it might have been Rabbi Yehuda, who met Eliyahu, and he asked them, Amos Kosimar, when are you coming to announce the Mashiach? Was it Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? When are you coming to announce the Mashiach? See, he told them, he says, that when the walls of Rome fall down, and they build them up and they fall down again, and they build them up and they fall down again, then I'm coming. Okay. In other words, when there'll be the destruction of Edom, of Esav, then the Mashiach will come, because the Mashiach is the descendant of Yaakov. Now we'll go to another point. We read about the angel wrestling with Yaakov the entire night, and he couldn't overcome him. And then just before he's going away, as the dawn was coming, he touched his kaf yerech, his loin, and he wounded him. Now what does this mean? because of the tremendous stature of Yaakov Avinu, the angel was not able to overcome him at all. Yaakov was far too great of a spiritual giant to be overcome, not only by men, but even by angels. And this is why the angel told him that your name shall not be Yaakov, but Israel. You have fought not only with men, but with angels also. Only at the end of the night, just before the dawn, the angel was able to do something to him. And what was that? A noga. He was able to touch him. Noga bekaf yerecha, a little touch, and give him a little injury. And where was this? This was in the yerech. The yerech is in the thigh, the loins. And only here. Why is that? The Gemara always brings that my yerech b'seisar, the thigh, lives in darkness. A person's thigh is always covered. We find, contrary to that, that the face of a person is always begolui, is always open. A person doesn't cover his face. And we find also that the main radiance of a person is on his face, as we can see. Actually, if a person is alive, he's radiant. The minute he dies, the face grows totally pale. This radiance comes from the Tzelem Elokim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, it says he created man b'tzalmei, in his own image. He gave something of his own image to man. This is the uniqueness and the greatness of man. Only man did he create b'tzalmei in his image. This image of Hashem, of himself, that he gave to man, this manifests itself in a radiance. And this radiance shows itself in the face of a person. This is what the sages mean when they say Chochmas Odom Teir Ponot, that the wisdom, the spirituality of a person shows on his face, radiates from his face. There's a Gemara that says, Kivin shenitzrach odem lebriyes nishtane ponav. Once a man has to come on to other people and ask for favors from other people, he has to ask for money from other people, nishtane ponav, his face becomes pale. Because the tzelem Elokim is that man was created to be a king. If he has to show dependence to other people, he loses that. Nishtane ponav, his face loses this radiance. Now, the greatest master of this radiance was Yaakov Avinu. Because it states, we brought it in last week's shir, that when Yaakov was sleeping in Beis El, and the angels were coming up and down the ladder, the Gemara brings in Chulin and Pergira Nosha, what were they doing? They were going up and they were looking at the Kisei HaKoved, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is surrounded by four images, that of a lion, and of a bull, and of an eagle, and of a man. And they saw the identity of the man was exactly like the identity of the man that was sleeping here. And this is what they were going up and down looking at. And they became very angry, and they wanted to harm the man, they wanted to kill him, because they said he had stolen the image from the throne of the Almighty. Hashem Nitzar Olav L'Shemre, and that's why it states that Hashem had to stand over Yaakov to guard him. What does this represent? That the perfection of all men was Yaakov. He was the perfection of the Ovis. He used everything that Abraham brought into the world, and that Yitzchok brought into the world, and he perfected it. And he gave forth the foundation of Yisrael, the 12 sons. He had come closer to Hashem than any person. Now the Gemara brings in Bava Metzia, in Secher HaSapelim, Daf Pei Daled, Amar Aleph, the Gemara brings Shufra de Yaakov, Kishufra de Adam HaRishon.
The greatest radiance was given to Adam HaRishon, the first man. See the Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra, that one of the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, says that he visited the Moras Machpelah, the place where Adam was buried, and he saw so much light coming out of there that from his two heels, the heel is the darkest part of the person, from the two heels he saw like two great balls of fire like the sun. And it states that Shufra de Yaakov ki Shufra de Adam HaRishon, that the radiance of Yaakov's face was the same as the radiance of the first man. So here we see the stature of Yaakov and the Tzelem Elokim, the image that he inherited. Because of this, the angel couldn't overcome him. But the angel did manage to injure him in his thigh. The thigh is always dwells in darkness, and is connected to the leg and to the foot, to the heel. The heel is considered the place which is the furthest from the head and the face of the person. There he was able to overcome him. There he was able to have a hold on him. Because there the Tzelem Elokim is the weakest. It's interesting, he told them also, he says they won't call you Yaakov anymore. Yaakov was Al-Shema Ake of the heel. He originally was called Yaakov because he was holding on to the heel of Esav. He says, your name shall not be Yaakov. Yaakov is someone who dwells in darkness. Your name shall be Israel, that's Begoloi, someone who dwells openly in light. Now, the fact that the angel could get a hold of Yaakov even at the thigh, this was only because there was an imperfection in Yaakov. There was a slight imperfection. Had there not been, then the angel wouldn't have been able to harm him there either. Now the Medrash says on that pasuk, Noga b'kaf yireichai, Noga b'chol ha-tzadikim sha-sidim lotzeis mimenu, that the angel not only injured Yaakov's loin, but he injured all of the righteous people that were to come from Yaakov's loin, the future generations. Zehu Derish al Shmad, and it refers to the door of Shmad. Now, this refers to the time when the Romans invaded Israel, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and the Harugi HaMalchus, and they put to death many, many righteous people. Where did they have the power to overcome many righteous people? From this, that their angel overcame Yaakov at his thigh. So there was a slight imperfection that gave the angel a hold on Yaakov, and this caused him an injury. And he was limping. And this injury affected the future generations, that they also were nefel liad shel zera shel Esav, that they fell into the hands of the seed of Esav. So this is the definition of Noga b'kaf yireichai, that he touched, he injured the kaf yireichai, the loins of Yaakov. Now, with this, we understand now part of this story. They take an Odom Sholem, they take a man of perfect physique, that represents Esav. Then they take a man, a chigor, a lame person, and that represents Yaakov. And then they take the Sholem, the one who's perfect, and they put him on the back and the shoulders of the one who's lame, because this represents when one rides on another person, it represents that he is in the process of ruling over him, the process of conquering or ruling over him. And they show that Esav rules Yaakov. And it also shows that both cannot rule at the same time. when one rides another, so why is one uplifted? Because he's on the shoulders of the other one. If it wouldn't be for the shoulders of the other one, he wouldn't be so high. And why can't the other one rule? Because the other one's on top of him. Okay, so this represented that lo yishvu bigdulasim, they cannot rule equal. One draws his strength from the destruction of the other. But we see the sholem, the one of perfect physique, he is ruling over the higer, over the lame one. Then it states, that they would bring the clothing of Adam HaRishon and put it on this man. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created man, he gave him the Tzelem Elohim, like we mentioned, in his image, and then he gave man something else also, Kosnes Or, that he made for man and woman clothing of Or, clothing of leather. In Tehillim Ches, there's a pasuk, "Bekovei behoda ta'atrehu," that the Almighty gave to man, besides the image, his own image, he gave him kovei behodor, honor and beauty. Now, these two halokim, these two attributes that he gave man, the tzelem elokim, the image, that's basically penimius, that's basically internal power that he's made in the image of Hashem. This is basically internal, because this comes from the soul, and the soul dwells b'seisa, the Gemara says. The soul you cannot find, it's like Hashem, it dwells secretly. Its radiance bursts out, so it's shown on the face of a person, but basically it's an internal power, it's an internal spiritual power. But the beauty and the honor that he gave man, kovid v'hodor, that's external. That's klapia om. That's in regards to other people, how they see it. See, this is an external honor that he gave to man. Now, Yaakov and Esav were twins. And the two of them were gigantic masters, where together they would inherit the entire world. Yaakov would inherit the spirit, the soul of Adam HaRishon, because he was the master of the spiritual world, and Esav would inherit the external powers of Adam HaRishon. Therefore Esav would end up owning the big day hamudas, owning the clothing of Adam HaRishon, because Esav was the master of the physical world. The physical world is the external world. Actually, the physical world is known as like a shell to the spiritual world. Spiritual world is internal. The physical world is external, it's superficial. And therefore, Esav would end up inheriting the clothing of Adam HaRishon. And the same when it comes to tachshitin, jewelry, ornaments. This also has to do with external beauty. Actually, the Gemara always says that clothing is a covet for a person. Gemara brings him a Masechta Shabbos, there was a Mandi Omer who said that he never referred to his clothing as clothing, but as machbedoisai, as honor, because it honors a person, it brings external honor to him. And the same is it with takshitin, with precious stones, with jewelry. But there's a difference between clothing and jewelry. Clothing are worn to give honor to a person, to make him look nice, and to give him beauty. But precious stones, jewelry, they're not necessarily worn because of their beauty. their value is not necessarily in their beauty, but rather their value is in their rarity and their preciousness. For example, if clothing is beautiful, then you wear it. If it's not beautiful, you don't wear it. When it comes to gems, if it's rare, then it's valuable. If there's only one in a kind in the world, then it's for a king or a queen. See? The worth of clothing is basically dependent on how it will look. But the worth of jewelry is dependent on its rarity. That creates its preciousness. And the reason for that is because the jewelry is worn, that's for chashivos. This gives an importance. This is an ability in a person. And this is why we always find that the greatest of the precious gems, the rare stones, are always associated with royalty. But this also is an external chashivos. It's an external factor. And Esav, being the Baal Eilam Hazeh, the one who was for this world, so this meant a tremendous amount to them, and they pursued it. So therefore they would pursue beautiful clothing, and they would pursue beautiful gems. So in this case over here, they would take the clothing of Adam HaRishon, of the first man, and they would take paws. Paws, Rashi brings, is a avonim tovis, which is yikorehi mi'od, very, very precious and very rare. And they would put a great chain of this around this man. Actually, we mentioned a few weeks ago that because both Yaakov and Esav were nobility, they came from Yitzchak, they came from Avraham, and it states that from them not only nations will come, but kingdoms will come. And it's brought Goyim in that posuk, and it's written Geim with an aleph, which means aristocracy, nobility, that both sons always would conduct themselves with the greatest royalty. And this is we find all the time with the descendants of Yaakov and the descendants of Esav. So they both had an attraction to chashivas, to something of great importance, of a royalty, of a nobility. But Esav in particular. And therefore they would adorn themselves with these beautiful jewels. Then the Gemara says, they would take kakafila del bishmal hakain. This was a mask made out of the skin of the face of the Bishmael Kain Godl. And they would put this on this person. Now it's very interesting. What did this represent? This represents the beauty of a person's face. Clothing represented the external beauty of a person. You put clothing on and you can look beautiful and royal. But the beauty of a person's face, this is not actually so external. You cannot change the beauty of the person's face like you can with clothing. Actually, the beauty of a person's face basically is internal. Because as we mentioned, Chokhmas Odom Te'ed Ponav, the radiance of the face comes from the spiritual wisdom. The beauty of the face is actually the manifestation of the soul. So it's not, it's internal. And like we brought from Yaakov, that Yaakov had the radiance and the beauty of Odom HaRishon. It states on all of the Imos, all of the mothers, the matriarchs, it states they were all very extremely beautiful. And in particular, the beauty of Rabbi Ishmael Kain Godel, it wasn't just coincidental that he was so beautiful. Because being a Kain Godel, he would be Nichnas Lifnei Lifnim, he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was the most sanctified place of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the most sanctified place of Yerushalayim, which is the most sanctified place in the whole world. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Orim and the Torah. And it states, Amai Nikra Oren. Why was it called Oren? Shekule Or. It was full of light. And it states that light was Nivra, was created from the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash was associated with light. Because light is something which comes from other worlds. That light that comes into this world. So it wasn't merely coincidental that Rabbi Ishmael Kain Godel happened to be so beautiful. This was the radiance of the Beis HaMikdash on his face. So therefore, really, this type of beauty, the Or Ponov, the beauty of a face, that really belongs to Israel. That's not Esau's. However, there is an external aspect to it also, though. Because, first of all, it takes effect on a Gashmi, on something which is physical. And it's what people see. And Hevel Ayefi, Shlomo HaMelech said, it can be only external also. It can be only superficial. So therefore, basically it's internal and it should belong to Israel. But because it is also external, Esav wants it. Esav was after anything that was external because that's what the physical world is. So Esav wants it. So therefore, when it states that he put the clothing of Adam HaRishon on this man, that was his clothing. That went to Esav. He inherited from Adam HaRishon, because that's part of the physical world. When he put this precious stone, the paws, that was his. Because it states that two measures of paws came into the world. One went to Esav and one went to the rest of the world. Because that belongs to the physical world, and he's the master of the physical world. But when he put the mask of the beauty of Rabbi Ishmael Kain Godel, that wasn't his. That he stole from Israel. That he had to kill for and steal. So he wanted it because there's a superficial aspect to it. But it's not his, because that comes from the neshama of the person. That belongs to Israel. But don't be surprised that Esav takes not only what belongs to him, but what also belongs to Israel, because this is Esav consistently. And this we find when it states that Rashi brings in Parshas Toldos that Esav nimshla lechazir. Esav is symbolized by a chazir, by a pig, a swine. Why? Because all of the animals that are tome, that are impure. So immediately you can tell they are tobe, because they do not have cleft hoofs. But the swine that is impure, he has cleft hoofs. He's the only animal that's tome, and he has cleft hoofs. And he sits with his hoofs out, trying to disguise himself as a behemoth kshera, as a kosher animal. Ru'u shani tohor. And he says, see, I'm tohor. So that's why Esav was nimshel lechazir. Esav was symbolized as a chazir. It states that he went at 40 years old to take a wife, because his father was 40 when he took a wife. He tried to copy whatever his father did to make everyone think that he's a kosher Jew. Right? He's a righteous person. Now this is this type of a fraud. There can't be anything more treif than the chazir. Yet the chazir puts his hoofs out and wants to tell the world that he's kosher. He's fraudulent. There can't be anybody more tomei than Esav. Yet he tries to project an external image of righteousness. This you always found by Edom. They always try to project Rome, try to project an external image of a great civilization, of Roman law, Roman culture, the Roman Senate, justice, and so forth and so on. Yet there was not a nation that occupied the world that was more treacherous, that was more ruthless, more unjust than than Rome. This is the symbol of the Chazir. So Esav, that's his nature, where he tries to steal from others what he feels will make him look better. Just like the Chazir tries to steal the image of Kashrus from others, even though he's as stomach as can be. See here also that he wants this beauty is beautiful. This beauty is noble. See, this also adds Chashivus, a king. Kings and queens, actually the Gemara brings that a king should be handsome. That goes together with kingship. Gemara brings this, Masechta Sanhedrin, that a king has to always look perfect. We stop it b'chol yom. Every day he has to take a haircut. The king. See? And trim. Always has to look perfect. Because a king, beauty goes, is kingly. That's together with royalty. And Esav wants this, but it's not his. See, he'll steal it from Israel. So this is what is meant, that they take the mask of Rabbi Shmuel Kain Gadol. Then it states, Umechapin es hashvokim b'inoch. Where they're making this celebration and this demonstration over the big courtyards. So in honor of this, they bring out all of their precious stones, all of the other precious stones, and they spread them all over the courts for this great celebration. What does this represent? Now this represents something else. And that is, here we're speaking about Mokom, a place. Esav, the children of Esav, the nations that come from him, were very concerned and were very preoccupied with their places, with their homes, with their castles, with their palaces, with their courts. And therefore, when they would have a celebration like this, they wouldn't have it in a back alley, and they wouldn't have it in a pasture, but they would have it in beautiful courts that would be decorated with the most precious jewels of the world. Now, why were they so particular with their places and their buildings and their homes, their palaces? This goes hand in hand with what we're saying. Because Esav was the Baalei Olam Hazeh. Esav was the master of this world. A place, a mokom, is part of the physical world. Someone who gives hashiva, someone who places the utmost importance upon the physical world, then is going to place the utmost importance upon physical buildings and physical homes and castles. And this is what we find by the descendants of Esav and Edom. Yaakov, to the contrary, by Yaakov it states, Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Yaakov was the man of uprightness. He dwelled in tents. What does it mean, tents? So the Medrash says, Ol Shel Torah, the tents of Torah. He learned Torah by Shem Ve'Ever. But why does it say tents? So Maral says, because a tent is just to the contrary of a choshuv, of a mokum choshuv, of a very important place. A tent is something you live in, a tent when you're moving around. Nomad tribes lived in tents because they were easy to uproot and move from place to place. Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov lived in tents because Gur Bo'aretz Hazeis, because they weren't permanent dwellers. They were only temporarily dwelling there and they were moving from place to place. So Yaakov and his descendants, we don't find where they placed their utmost importance in their great castles and fortresses. This we don't find compared to the descendants of Rome. And the reason is because Yaakov, his world was the next world. Next world's a spiritual world. While a place here is a physical world. It's physical. To Yaakov, this world is merely, like it states in Masechta Oves, that it's a praisder. It's an entry chamber that goes into a greater castle. Prepare yourself in the entry chamber in order you'll be able to go into the castle. So to Yaakov's nature, this world is temporary. If it's temporary, that's a tent. Why do people live in tents? Because it's a temporary dwelling. So to Yaakov, that this whole world is temporary. So all of the time he lives in something like a tent, or maybe a little better. But to Esav, that there was no next world. When it came to the, by the porridge, and Esav came to Yaakov and he said, I want the porridge. And he said, well, you said, what will you give me for it? Give me your birthright. So he said, what is the birthright? She says, it gives you the schus of mitzvahs. Gives you the right of the avoda of mitzvahs. And he says, and what reward will I have? He says, you'll have reward in the next world. And Esav says, what do I need the next world for? I need this world, not next world. The porridge represents this world. This is what I need. I don't need the next world. I'm going to die. There is no next world. So therefore he was willing to swap his next world for this world. And now Canaan, this is why he was called Edom. Edom represented the red porridge of this world, and he swapped the next world for this world. So to Esav, this world is permanent. If it's permanent, he's going to build himself permanent fortresses and castles and palaces and cities. To Yaakov, this world is temporary. If it's temporary, so he's not going to place that much concern in his great buildings. And therefore, to Esav, Mokom is very, very important. And therefore, not only are they going to have this in a place, but it's going to become a streets of jewels in order to adorn the Mokom. This is why we find that in this world, Yaakov is the Nidof. Min ha-Nidofim, the Gemara says. Yaakov is always pursued. He's Galem Mokom Lamokom. He is pursued from one place to another. We find it by Yaakov. Here he has to run away from his house, from Esav. He goes to Lavan. Now he has to run away from Lavan. And he's confronted with Esav. And he has to run again from Esav. And he's going to come to Shechem. And there he's going to have to run from Shechem. And soon he'll have to go down to Egypt and leave his house again. Yaakov is min ha-Nidofim. And the Gemara says, my sov is simin labonim. This is all a sign of the children. That the children, why do we find that the children are geilem yimokam lemokam? They go, where is the children's place? Eretz Yisrael. But how much are they in Eretz Yisrael? They're exiled from one place to another. And to the contrary, we find that the descendants of Esav established themselves in great medinas, in great states, in great capitals. So the reason is because someone who is uprooted constantly from one place to another, this shows that he does not enjoy, or he does not project a territorial conquest. It shows it's not his. People who can exhibit territorial powers and conquest are not uprooted. It's those who cannot. And Esav can, because this is his world. But Yaakov cannot. Not in this world, in the next world. After the Mashiach comes, but not in this world. And therefore we find that in this world, Esav is the Raidev. He is the one who rules over the places, over the territories. And Yaakov is the Nirdof. He is the one who is pursued. So that is the meaning of the ornamentation of the Shvokim, of all of the marketplaces where they're having, and the courts where they're having the celebration. Then they call out Sachkiri Plaster. The prophecy of the old Lord, they're referring to their grandfather Yitzchok, is false, because he prophesied Hevigvila Achecho, that Yaakov will become the master over Esav, and we see not like that. We see in this world Esav is the master over Yaakov. Every city is built up, and Yerushalayim is b'churban. And then they said, Ma'an ilei l'ramai b'ramusai. Ulezeafna b'saifnusa. What did it help for the Ramai, for the deceitful one with his deceit? What did it help for the fraudulent one with his fraud? This is what they say. So Maral writes, there's truth in that. There's truth in what they're saying. Because Yitzchok wanted to give the brachas to Esav, and because he loved Esav more than Yaakov, and he gave the brachas to Yaakov through a fraudulent manner, and not with a lev gomer, with a full heart, it's because of that that we find that there's a hefsik, there's an interruption in those brachas. Had he given the brachas to Yaakov knowingly and with a full heart, then there would have never been a beetle, an interruption to the brachas at all, to the Rav, to the Hevi Gvir L'Achecho. So they hit on a truth, right? That what did all of the fraud help him? He stole the brachas, but what does he get from them? Had these brachas been given begolui, openly, and with a full heart, then Esav would have never ruled over Yaakov. But then they conclude, Oivoy ledain, kad yokum dain. But beware the other one. Let Esav beware. Let the Odom Sholim, the one who's perfect physique, let him beware when the Chiger, when the one who's lame, he will stand up. Because they know themselves that even though Esav is ruling, but Esav is not conquered. When a person rides another person, he's on top of them, but he has not destroyed him. He has not conquered him. If you're riding on the shoulders or on the back of another person, you're on top. But the other person is not dead. He's still there. Even when you ride a horse, you're controlling the horse. But it's possible the horse might throw you. And they know this. They know that Esav is ruling Yaakov, but Esav has not conquered Yaakov. No matter how many times they've tried, they have never conquered Yaakov. Take behold over Dora Imdi Malenu Lechaliseinu. In every generation, our enemies stand up to destroy us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands. They have never destroyed us. And they know this. So they see it only in its true light as a temporary shlita, as a temporary dominion, but not permanent. And at any time, the lame one can stand up and throw off the other one. And they know then also that when that will happen, that will be total destruction for Esav. Because that was the prophecy of the old one when he said, Hevi Gvir L'Achecho, you shall be master, total master over your brother. Or the prophecy that Rivka received, V'rav Yaveh Tzo'ir, that the older brother shall become the servant of the younger brother. So therefore, after all of the celebration and all of the flamboyance and all of the joy, at the end they say, because they know, let's enjoy it while we can. But voy ledein kad yokum dein. But there'll come a time when the one on the bottom will get up and he'll throw the other one off. Beware of that day, because that'll be the day which we mentioned before, that Eliyahu said that when the walls of Rome fall down and they're built up, they fall down again and they won't be rebuilt anymore That will be the day when the Melech HaMashiach, the descendant of Yaakov, will come and totally destroy them. So therefore they conclude, Voiledein kad yokum dein, when this one will stand up, though, then we must beware. So this is the explanation of that holiday that they have in Rome. They would have in Rome once every 70 years, which represented once in a lifetime. And this gives us an insight into the Noga Bekaf Yerechai, that the angel touched and wounded the nerve of the loin of Yaakov, and he called them Israel, because you have fought with God, with angels, and with men, and you have become victorious. We should be zeche to see that they come in the not so far future.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.